CliffCentral.com.
Yebo. You don't want to miss that. That's the MKT show, Cliff Central Sport. And we're launching a new, brand new show this week. And from Monday, you'll get to see his new studio on this show, which is very cool. There's obviously a lot to talk about. And we'll get to the Olympics in a short while. Also going to introduce you to a team member who we haven't met yet this morning, Khumulemo, who is waiting to say hello to us this morning. Leanne Moll is here, and Bulelo Tinta is here, and here is Khumulemo Modise. How are you, Khumulemo? Nice to see you, dude. You're on mute. That's the first rule, is to check if you're on mute. That was a shitty introduction. Yeah, let's try again.
Khumulemo Modise. That was a very horrible introduction, actually.
What's happening, bro? What's up?
Ah, man, I'm all good, you know? Haven't said hi to the team.
Tell people what you do on the show, because, you know, everybody wants to know. So Mbulelo is the executive producer, and we've got Simpiwe, who kind of puts the podcast together and all the rest of it. She's also in charge of guests and things with Dari. So there's Dari, there's Simpiwe, there's Mbulelo, and then there's you. And you do, among other things, you do all our graphic design. You also help with content some of the time, and you're busy with Cliff Central in general. You only started with us a couple of months ago, though. So, you introduce yourself in your own words. This is all very embarrassing if I don't let you do it.
I mean, you were on a roll there, so I was just like, it's a great intro. So basically, I'm Khumulemo Aaron Modise, and I'm the guy that currently is making Cliff Central look good.
There we go. He's right.
You know.
And does he need to work? I mean, look at this. We need to do something with Cliff Central.
Yeah, especially there by you, Garrett. Hey, it's been tough. But no, on the other side, it's been a vibe, man. As much as I started just a couple of months ago, and that's a whole story on its own as to how I started here.
Well, you started because Simpiwe needed a lift the one day because her car broke down, and you were there.
You were an Uber.
You were basically her rescue man. And then you came in, and you were just sitting around for like a week. And you know what happens? What happens at Cliff Central if you're sitting around is you get given things to do. And then before you knew it, you had a job and you had a salary, and now you're working for us.
Like, isn't that just like the greatest story ever? Just linger around at a job and you get that job.
Right, exactly.
That's been how it is.
What I like is that you are already spilling the tea on what's going on there, because there's nothing I like more than when the people at Cliff Central tell me the secrets of the other people on the show. That's always everybody's most favorite part. So you can call him Khumulemo, or you can call him Aaron. He doesn't mind either. He goes by both in the office. And he's already got some secrets. So he sits there and he just quietly listens to what other people are talking, and they all talk a lot of smack. Mbulelo, you know this because you're often in the mix as well.
I was about to say, he's there. He's our partner in crime when it comes to the things that happen in the hub. Eish.
Give us the lowdown.
It's lit.
What's been said lately? What are people talking about?
I mean, they told James that he's a crier. They told him.
James is nice. James is, by the way, on Bulelo's show, on the MKT show at the moment. So he's kind of the co-host with Bulelo.
You know, and he carries his height well. That's the best thing I can say about him.
So they called him a crier.
He carries his height well.
Has he been?
Yeah, they called him a crier. Has he been?
Has he been crying? Have you actually seen him cry, or are they just saying this?
None of us have ever seen him cry, but they told
got that
him.
Look.
Yeah, he's got that look.
I'm a crier.
You know?
Yeah.
And hey, there's like the office couple that I shall not mention names.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh,
y'all
really?
Know yourselves, though. They know themselves. And if they're watching, she's probably laughing somewhere. I think I can hear her. You know?
An office couple.
They're not together. They're not together. It's not like a real couple thing. Oh. They're just very
friendly.
You know, they're very friendly, man. They're very office couple like.
Office couple. That's amazing. Now, this is completely a mystery to me. I'm trying to think who it might be.
I'm like, by all means. I mean, you can guess. At least guess one.
Who is mostly, besides Jane, who we know causes the most trouble and strife, and she fights with everybody. Besides Jane, is there anyone else who's causing trouble at the moment?
I wouldn't say people are causing trouble. I just say it's a very, very nice little banter that everybody has, you know?
Simpiwe can get quite mouthy.
Simpiwe is mouthy.
Yeah.
Very.
I'm just going to put it out there. I think I've known her for so long that, yeah, she's very flamboyant in her speaking. But I mean, that's what makes her such a great personality, I guess.
When you first meet her, she's quiet and she's very subdued, and you think, what a sweet person. But she's got teeth and she's got claws. And she can get quite vicious with you once you get to know her. Yeah. Oh. We've seen it.
And her teeth were sharp, her gums were raw, and spit was dripping from her jaw.
She did start the COVID wave at Cliff Central as well, which I know she's tried to defend herself, but she did
start
it.
That is true. She is.
Which
she
I
is
survived. No. Which I don't want to make this about myself, but I did survive the wave she started.
So now the other thing.
I mean, Bulelo, we did. I mean, I like how you make it about yourself. I feel like it's a group activity. We kind of all survived it.
Yeah. Well, you did. You all did. I mean, he tries to claim most of the credit for being a strong survivor, but it's really everybody. No one died is the point. We're so pleased.
No one died.
I'm so glad. So, Homolemo, just quickly tell us, you are single at the moment, and it's a very difficult scene for anyone who's now. Unlike Bulelo and Leanne and I, who've given up on love, we're very cynical people.
Yes.
You have not given up on love. You are trying to find a woman, but you're trying your backside of it. You're not getting any success anywhere. And it's not because you're a terrible person. It's just the dating scene has become so hard.
Yeah, I know. I think, yes, I am single. Just in case anybody is
sure.
Watching, it's there. Just like...
Oh, you'll get... You know? Some of our listeners are up for that, so go for it.
I always have a chat with Mbulela and I tell him, I'm like, I'm open to the market. You know, it's no secret. The dating pool currently is, I think, at its worst. I mean, in terms of expectations, what you should and should not have as a man.
What do you mean?
There's these famous lines. You know, there's these famous lines that people say, you know, indoda maybe. You know, which means as a man, you should have.
Oh, God.
You see? Which, so it's quite interesting. It makes dating really difficult.
What are these requirements? What are you required to have? Money?
The standard traditional things that every man traditionally and culturally should have. Should
like
be able
what?
To be financially strong. You know, you should have your own place. You should have your own car, you know, things that they currently also do not have, mind you, but that's what they want from you.
And these are prerequisites. In other words, they're not even going to go on a date with you if you don't have these things. They want to see proof of all of this beforehand.
Yeah, this is your foundation. You're starting line up.
Leanne, have you ever put out a list of requirements?
Just a penis. That's
really all. That's it.
Sorry. What was the question?
Okay. Yes.
Just one penis.
All right.
The rest is we can sort out.
Well, there he is. If you have advice for Homolemo, you can let him know, and we will pass on the info to him. But he's on the show, and I thought it was a good idea after all these weeks that he's been around that we eventually introduce you to him, and we'll get him back on sometime when maybe there's a good news story about the dating, because at the moment it's kind of pathetic, man. I mean, it's a bit sad.
It's a sad life, you know. They say we are the depressed generation with lit pictures. So
that's exactly right.
The vaccination queue could be a good point to start.
Yes,
I mean there are people who have the same values as you. They're similar age group, although I don't know about the age group thing though, because when I was in the queue, there was a man behind me who could have been my grandfather.
Well, also there are a lot of people who
to the party.
There are a lot of people who are doing these walk-ins for the vaccinations now. So they pitch up and then they, you know,
yeah,
stand
which
in the
is
queue.
What I did. Really.
So here's an interesting point of view from Michael. He says, if you want a decent partner, find one who doesn't carry a cell phone. Good luck with that. Otherwise, you're dating someone who is first and foremost dating the black mirror in front of them. That's so true. That is so damn right, isn't it? A working penis.
I once walked out of a date because of that.
What, because of a phone?
So we went on a date and she like spent a good amount of time on her phone the whole time. So she went to the bathroom. I got the bill. And when she got back, I said, call me back when you're serious. And I've never spoken to her again.
Undivided attention.
No, but for me, I can also stay at home and WhatsApp people. For me, I promise you, if you ever come to lunch with me, my phone's on airplane mode. I won't look at it because I can stay at home and do that. Your time's not more important tell your mom, tell your sister, tell your brother that you're at lunch with somebody, put your phone down. Like, who else needs to get a hold of you? Here's where I'm going for lunch, mom, dad, brother. That's where I'm going for lunch with this person. Bang. Okay. Does
anybody know? I'm sorry to move on quickly from that, but Leanne just brought up she just wants a penis, a working penis. And then Corona's Boring just commented, I don't know what this means. So Jaden Smith is out of the running for Leanne. What is Jaden
Smith? That's Will Smith's son, right?
Yes, I know. But what's the story with him? Does he not have a working penis? Does anybody know what the problem is there? Has he seen medical experts to help him with this condition? What's the problem?
Even I don't know anything about that.
I'll tell you what's happened is because I forget what the sort of identity term is, but he looks androidish, like it's just asexual.
Androgynous.
No, but not even, I don't know if androgynous is correct because I'm just saying the aesthetic, he looks like he's not capable of doing anything, he looks like... He elicits nothing in anybody, is what I think.
Does he identify as asexual or gender fluid? All right. Well, we don't know. It's totally in his head, right? Yeah. How are we going to know?
He's a eunuch, says Corona's Boring.
Eunuch.
What Michael Jackson is?
A question from...
Michael Jackson's a dead white lady.
Yes, that's correct. Anushka wants
a dead white lady. Wow.
Anushka wants to know, Khomolemo, have you at least been laid in the past year since COVID hit?
That's an interesting question.
Well,
that's real interesting.
And don't answer that because what if he's been laid with more than one person and the other person doesn't know? Dude, that's
I'm not. I don't want to pull myself in a very tricky situation.
Okay.
So, to answer this question, it would be, I shall not confirm nor deny.
Yes.
All right. Well, dude, we will be talking to you again, and you've got to bring details of your personal life onto the show because that's really all people care about on this show is just you embarrass yourself. That's basically what we do here. All right, cool. Ooh,
I mean, anytime.
All right, go and get back to work. All right, there he is. That's Khomolemo. He's got work to do. You can't sit here talking shit with him all morning. He's got things to do. So apparently this is the story about Jaden. He is non-gender binary style and his refusal to be defined in terms of who people perceive him to be and how he dresses. Jaden Smith's gender fluidity, therefore, means that he sees gender as a spectrum. Oh, God.
Oh, my word. Oh, God. People are so bored. Is there not enough going on in the world to deal with?
I did see one cool thing to do with the Smith family. I saw Will Smith was in Dubai, and he went swimming or diving in that world's deepest swimming pool. Which is pretty cool. You can look it up on – I'm not going to find it.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So Will Smith was busy swimming around in Dubai, obviously not parenting young Jaden, who really just needs a bit of a clap, if you ask me. You talk about about medication. Some kids just need a clap, really. It's I grew up with claps, and I'm absolutely fine. In fact, I'm slightly better off than those people whose parents didn't believe in claps. Just, again, this is observational. I can't prove it empirically, but the kids without claps, a lot of them are still living with their parents in their 30s. That's all I'll say.
Any sort of discipline would apply now.
That's also true.
One of the greatest things that ever happened to me was going to a school where there was farm boys or farm people. Because, you know, us yuppies like to intellectualize and talk and, hey, but, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Not those farm boys.
No,
the farm boys are different. They're going to clap you now and we'll talk afterwards. If you disrespectful, you don't come correct. And, you know, farm boys are different strength. There's a different strength. I don't know what's in the food there.
It's from
but when pulling, they hit you, you're properly.
It's from pulling the plow and shearing the sheep and loading the bucky. And they do stuff like functional weight training that the rest of us, no matter how much gym you go to, you just never get.
At least two shocks from the electric fence a day.
That's exactly right. Absolutely. Yeah. So Lee says, Homo Lemo looks like the love child of Chance the Rapper and Pharrell. Yeah, actually, that's a good description.
Wow.
That's a good description of him. Okay. Yeah. All right. Will Smith is writing a book with Mark Manson, who wrote The Art of Not Giving a Fuck. It might be a good read.
Oh. Yeah, I think he's a well-balanced guy. Pretty, he hasn't been able to pass it on to, you know, one of his children.
Oh, he's a Scientologist.
What's the daughter's name?
I can't remember.
There's Jaden and, oh God, she's the one. I whip my hair back and forth. What is her name, man? Just hit a blank.
Google it.
No, just send us the message to the screen. It'll be, there's someone smart enough in our audience to be able to retain knowledge, like really important knowledge, like who is Will Smith's daughter? Willow. Willow is, got it, Willow. Got there before you motherfuckers. Ha. Got there. I knew I wasn't useless, even at my advanced age. Damn, yes. I knew Willow Smith. Ha. I'm so proud of myself. That's the most proud of myself I've been all week. Hey, listen, there's some news.
Your standards are very low.
My standards are so low at the moment, it's ridiculous. If I were in the dating scene now, I would be scraping the bottom of the barrel, I promise you. God, I'm so glad I'm so glad I don't care enough. Like, I'm so unenthusiastic about relationships that it's my saving grace right now.
It's all we've got left.
Oh man,
can't give up on this earth.
Dude, if I were trying to date now, do you know how unhappy I would be if I were trying to date now? I've got friends who they are either really, really desperate to settle down and get married or just desperate to have sex with whichever girl they can find. And I just see that word desperate, you can see it in people's eyes, right? You can see it.
Absolutely.
And like, I'm thinking of two friends in particular. One of them, he would make the best husband. He would make such a perfect, he'd be caring, he'd be kind, he'd be generous. All of that shit that they put in the Prince Charming videos and movies, right? He'd be all of that stuff, but he's just lucked out. Every time he thinks he's found the right girl, it's just a disaster. And then my other friend he's just trying to get laid every other week, and he does mostly, but it's never enough. It's never enough. And I'm sitting here going, you know what? I'll paint for 2 days in a row and not talk to people. Or I'll do this show and it's like an outlet for me. I'm so happy that that satisfies me, because God, if it didn't, I'd be in the same box as those two. And your eyes darting around the room the whole time, trying to find, you know, some person to either settle down with or get laid. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nice not to worry about it. It really is.
But
someone would have to be, sorry, Mbulelo.
No.
Someone would have to be like, I don't know, really freaking special in some way or another to pique my interest.
But hearing that from both of you makes me a little bit sad, you know, is that that's all we've got left, because Elon Musk is going to turn us into robots soon. Is for me, what I'm really, as my life's kind of settling down in all the kind of stuff you need in life, is pursuing high quality people. And I mean, in terms of human traits, right? Like really ethical, interesting people that make me think. And there's only probably 1 in 100. But as I do that every now and then, in every sense, romantic and in my friendship circle, because my friendship circle is shrinking actively as a choice, is that I'm really looking to get into the highest echelon of living with quality people, not perfect, but ethical people, like nice people, like decent human beings. That's all I have left.
Yeah, but you know, I get to hang out with really interesting people on the show every day. So there's a lot of stimulation that happens there. I've got friends who I see you know, weekly or every second week or every third week or whatever. And they're friends. Some of them I've been friends with since varsity. So I get to see them. And this has been happening, by the way, the whole way through lockdown. So I've never followed the rules. I have a family who provide me with a kind of a sense of close community, and we all care about each other and we see each other a lot. So I'm getting that stuff from different places. I'm not getting it from one person.
No, absolutely.
And therefore,
I'm with you.
It's a distributed model. It's like Bitcoin. There's no central control, you know, and that's, I think that's quite good, because you throw it all in with one person and it doesn't work. It can be devastating.
No, it's wrong. It's, you know what?
I don't know about
it
wrong.
It's so wrong.
I've seen
people. No, I think it's wrong.
I've seen
like,
people.
You can't be everything to everyone.
Dude, I've seen people who get it right. They absolutely, positively get it right. They find the right person for them and it just works. Look, it might not work forever, but for 5 years, 10 years, even longer than that.
A season, a reason, or a lifetime.
Oh my God, Leanne, you're so philosophical.
I know.
So philosophical. Okay, so a couple of things. Apparently, hundreds of street vendors in India have been found to be secret millionaires. This is amazing.
Yeah, so they're evading tax like you won't believe.
Yeah,
and they're coming out pleading poverty and putting on their best rags while they sell stuff on the side of the road. But they're going home to these mansions.
That's amazing.
I don't know, but maybe they've got it right, you know?
That is amazing. You know what makes that so cool is, and it is cool, I sometimes see these beggars on the street, and you can tell it's chile time. They take the blindfold off, or their leg magically appears from under their wheelchair or whatever it is. And then they go off to their house. I wonder how many of those people end up living fairly ordinary middle-class lives when they get home. But then they go out in the morning and their job is to be a beggar, is to make you think they're much poorer than they are. I mean, they're probably not a lot of them. Let's be fair, in this country, chances are they're really, you know, they're beggars. But
so in this particular instance in India, it was an income tax raid, and they revealed 250 street food vendors and scrap dealers who've been buying homes and cars all while evading taxes. Apparently hiding in plain sight. And if you just kind of class yourself as this stereotype of a street vendor, people kind of leave you alone. But somebody in the income tax department got onto this, and they started
their version of SARS.
And they started looking into it, but apparently together these secret millionaires had already saved up and spent more than 37.5 million Indian rupees, which is over half a million US dollars, to buy properties.
Phenomenal.
Several scrap dealers owned at least 3 cars.
Wow. Well,
you've got the parts, you know. A lot of them have bought these large swathes of agricultural land.
Good for them.
In rural areas. It's all down to this big data software that the IT department used.
Well, again,
to pick them out.
Again, isn't like if you manage to beat the tax man, I say credit to you. Good for these people. This is ingenious. Yeah. They pretend to be beggars. It can't be fun. I mean, like you're out there working street vendor, beggar. You know, there's a huge difference. But I mean, if you're selling fruit on the side of the road, but secretly you're running a huge agricultural land, scrap car empire. That's amazing that you managed to keep that up. That's phenomenal. I give those people 100 points for productivity and brilliance.
Getting one back for the good guys.
Okay, so
let's hope it's not all taken away from them. I've seen footage from the raids, the police raids near the Val where CS lives.
Yeah,
and people.
It's horrible.
People are
horrible to see.
Victims of these police raids are angry because they're the exact same police members who were handing them goods, apparently. This is what the raiders are saying. You know, we were handed these washing machines and mattresses and things by police who were saying, yeah, take it and run. And now they're seizing them.
Yeah.
Interesting Listen, dynamic.
I'm on the side of the people who are working, and the police are not working. Those guys and girls are putting out, you know, they're going out there every day trying to put a living together. I think that's amazing. And I'm always on the side of the street vendors when the police come and raid them. Leave these people alone. They're trying to scrape together some kind of existence. Who the hell are you to get in their way? I mean, don't we have bigger fish to fry? We have actual criminals running around. You're worried about a street vendor who hasn't got a license to put up his stall. Do me a favor. And they're doing it because a lot of these guys are also, they're not from here, right? So they're foreigners. And foreigners in this country seem to get the worst deal. For a country that prides itself on human rights and a constitution and everything else, we treat foreigners like absolute shit in this country. And we wonder why the foreigners won't do business with us as much as they'd prefer to do business with each other. They hire their cousins and their uncles and their aunts because they can't trust us. South Africans are just not trustworthy to a Somalian. Anyway, don't want to go down that road. It seems people are more interested in our conversation beforehand. I'm getting a lot of messages here from people about desperation. So Rumpelstiltskin says, desperation is the biggest turnoff. Any woman showing desperation and being clingy, it's time to run. Monica says, desperation will never work in dating. Don't look for it and it'll find you. Yeah, that's also true. Hadmin says, Mbulelo just insulted 99% of us. Just another Friday. That's about right. Yeah.
It wasn't my intention.
Carl says, Gareth, I like the way that you and Mbulelo have rationalized your way out of happy relationships. Hey, that's not true.
You're right, Carl. I have. I'm not going to speak for you.
I have recently, in the last 3 years, I've had two good relationships in the last 3 years. They didn't last forever. They were a couple of months, but that's good. And I still, the door's open, man. I haven't rationalized my way out of anything. Yanni says, this lady I met, we really connected. However, she said we should discuss a girlfriend allowance. I thought she was joking. She said, hell no, we should discuss it on our next date. She is hot, so maybe... No, Yanni, don't go there.
No.
A girlfriend allowance.
No, Yanni. Yeah, no.
Don't do it.
No, nine.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like immediately my mind went to, is this a cultural thing? And just looking at your name, Yanni, sorry to stereotype you, but perhaps Yanni Groenewald is Afrikaans. And there is in some Afrikaans communities this expectation that if I'm going to be your girlfriend or your lady or your wife, I need money to keep up my looks.
Maybe, huh?
And if you want to take it international, Yanni, and you want to stay away from that, so I can tell you from experience, if you ever want to date a Russian woman,
yes.
So there it's stock standard. Men pay for everything. It's like it's not even a discussion. It's not like a patriarch-matriarch thing. There you pay for, as a man, you pay for everything, and even if she is Putin's daughter.
And it's all a commercial transaction. Every part of it is a commercial transaction. The whole thing.
You better believe it. Yeah.
Dogozo says, I ran for the hills last time someone brought up a girlfriend allowance. Good for you. Good for you. That's exactly what you should do.
Is that where we're living, though?
Mm-hmm.
Girlfriend allowance.
Unless you're at the point where you've told your woman to stay at home and not work, or you're, you know, jealous of her earning an income, you know, then I don't see the point.
Michael's, this is a wise dude. Michael says, avoid dating people who are not already giving themselves what they expect to receive from others.
Absolutely.
That's a smart point.
Yeah.
Dear Yanni, it starts with an allowance. It ends with a hofro, muni, ho links for bay. Go past on the, on the left.
Ho yeah, as in H-O-U, yeah. People.
Yeah.
Not just H-O.
No, not H-O, no.
What's a hofro?
Someone you hold keepsake. On to. It's like a keepsake, yeah.
I'm
Afrikaans and I've never heard of that, says Elaine. Who was paying for your looks? Who was paying for your looks before you met this new person, says Linda. That's a good point. Right?
Probably your dad.
But also, I mean...
Because you needed to find a man.
So Nikki makes the point here, like poof, she instantly turned herself into a low-level prostitute. That is what it is. Let's not beat around the bush here. I know this is going to upset a lot of people, but the minute you're in a relationship where as a man or a woman, there's a commercial transaction taking place where there's a quid pro quo, like, I'll give you this, but then you give me that. And it's not entirely voluntary. And you're not in a situation where you're sharing the costs of the relationship or the cost of the children or the cost of the house or whatever it might be. Then it is just kind of low level prostitution. Let's not fuck around. I mean, you know, especially if you aren't married or you aren't in any kind of.
I mean, like, where's the pride, girls? How many women, sorry to get all sloshy about this, how many women before us have fought to have jobs and be independent and earn the same money as men? Mm. And now you're just going to buckle down and say, I need someone to pay for my manicure, please.
So I'm being ignorant here, perhaps. Take me on this journey here. Is I've never, ever found anybody who doesn't work attractive. So I don't understand this thing. So are there, like... Why is that even an option for people? Like, if you don't work, you're not attractive to me. If you're not productive, I'm sorry, it's not enough to just do one thing and be alive. You don't get a prize for waking up in the morning. Sorry. If you don't work, you're not attractive. You're
so
not.
So true. So true.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Listen,
There's also that excuse that a lot of people are making at the moment that, you know, it's very hard to find a job. And after Corona and lockdown and all that stuff, people are using that as an excuse. A lot of women I know are saying, well, you know, in good times, I would never be expecting to be taken care of, to be kept like this. But now, you know, times are tough. So I need something different. I need this kind of financial security. So I'll be prepared to be in a relationship where I'm getting a monthly wage from my husband or boyfriend or my blesser so that I can have this kind of life. That's the same thing.
What a turn off.
That doesn't impress me. That's not a good argument.
I've always said this, and people hate me for it, but I'll say it until the day I die. I will die on this hill. Date in your economic class. Stop.
Right.
This is not a Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan movie. If somebody needs your help to improve their lifestyle immediately, get out of there. Date in your economic class and stop being a romantic idiot.
This is interesting.
Relationships are complicated enough already. You don't need to add extrinsic complications. Find somebody who's already got the seichel you're on, move together to wherever you want to go. Stop romanticizing. I met her. She's such a nice person. Is she stable? Does she have a job? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're not that kind of person. If you want to be a yoga instructor in Thailand and she's on that tip, you guys do that. But don't, please stop thinking that a poet needs to marry an accountant. It's a disaster waiting to happen. But people love that, don't they? Opposites attract, I hear, because I'm a Libra and he's a Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So Duduzi says, some people get offended when you don't give them money after the deed. It's called mavuso. How's that?
Oh, mavuso. Yeah.
Is that a thing? Like, explain that to me.
Yay.
What is that?
It's just a little, you know what? You don't want to call it prostitution, but it's a little something. Obviously, I'm going home and, you know, I presume I'm going to see you again. So it's for the weave and the the nails.
Okay. So that's low key.
Because we're going to go to lunch in next week.
It's low key prostitution. Okay.
Yeah. Mavuso. And then obviously money for the Uber home these days.
See, we've earned all that something new. That's great. I like that. Mavuso. Okay. Very, very good. If you don't have a whoring permit, you're not permitted to whore, says Corona's boring. Jeez, cutting to the point. Yes.
Go back to your home on Whore Island.
On both sides, says Michael, some level of prostitution remains the oldest profession. Having to work on top of that becomes an inconvenience. that's a good point. Best thing about dating homeless girls is you can drop them off anywhere.
Oh my God.
That's so funny. Sweet Pea says, Bulelo's the sexiest guy ever, and it's so much to do with his mind. Ooh.
Well, it's not the looks. It's not the looks, so thank you very much.
I don't know. I'm sure you've got a six-pack. I've never seen it.
I do, Leanne. Thank you for asking. 8% body fat right now.
Really? You're at 8%?
8%.
Seriously.
8% body fat. I haven't, so I went for a test last week. I haven't exercised in 8 weeks, but I'm cooking. Oh, Gareth.
If you were a woman at 8%, you wouldn't be able to get pregnant. You know
no,
that,
you'd
right?
be dead.
No,
really?
Yeah, as a woman at 8%, you'd actually be going into some kind of shock, because apparently, you know, women have to have like around 10% to be perfectly healthy. And there are women who drop below that for competitive reasons.
I think it's like 14 or something. I don't know. I thought it was 40, so I'm 48. That's what I'd like to aspire towards.
I don't even know.
There's so many things going wrong in the world right now, guys. I've just built up my stores, you know.
Like a bear. You were prepared for the hibernation period that is COVID and night.
Bulelo, when you test for body fat percentage, do they do that with those calipers, or do you actually get on one of those scales?
Calipers are. They don't really use that anymore. Right. We've got the scale, and then we still obviously do the sort of water test where you get in, see what your muscle, because obviously muscle's heavier than fat.
No.
And if that kind
I
of
I just
tells
have
you,
to jump up and down, and whatever wiggles and jiggles is like, if it's 50% of my body, then you know.
That's how you figure it out. Greg was asking, and then Rumpelstiltskin says, how do we know that Bulelo has 8% body fat? He'll tell you.
You better believe it, pal.
He's never mentioned it, yes, Rumpelstiltskin, until I asked.
You better believe it, pal. I'm more than happy to keep being that guy.
Guys, it's very important that you know tonight's going to be a full moon. So if you sleep, So if you sleep badly during a full moon, tonight's going to be a really rough night for you. You may as well just stay up the whole night. Oh, okay, it's very important. Someone just sent me a message.
I'm a Taurus. A full moon's a nightmare for. Oh my God. The lion and the moon shall never meet, they said. Oh.
You know, we've got George coming up in a moment or two, and we'll get to him and find out what's going on in the world of motoring and all the rest of it. But before we do that, Bulelo, you made a good point the other day when I was talking about the weather, and we mentioned that hilarious tweet that someone sent to Simon, whatever it is, the weather guy, Simon Gear. And
oh, that's right.
You brought up then, and I thought about this quite a lot in the last week. We don't need weathermen. We don't need these meteorologists. I mean, we've got Internet of Things now. We can measure the wind speed in Kakamas. If you go on, there's some kind of device that's connected to the internet in Kakamas, and it's busy measuring the wind. You don't need a guy with an anemometer standing out there in the rain trying to get a reading on that. And the computer does a better model in terms of predicting stuff anyway, doesn't it? I mean, meteorology is all about predicting the model.
Someone has to translate that stuff, though, you know?
The machines do it.
We got cosmologists for that.
You've got an app. I mean, I've just told you about full moon. Now, you know, before you'd have to consult the augurers. They would have had to cut open a bird, and then they would have said, well, the way that the intestines fell out of the bird, you can tell that the new moon is only 3 days hence. Make sure you are wearing your blackest robe 8 days hence, when the moon is at its height and the full power of the moon is felt by all of us in various ways and shapes and forms. And the snake will come from the eye of the dead, and it shall eat your liver. And then you shall pass into the... be in some way transformed into something more powerful than you have ever been before. That's what used to happen. Now, weathermen are kind of like that, right? They bullshit us.
We've got it. Like, also, I know what the weather is where I am.
Also, can... when they used to have those really attractive weather women on TV... Now, I know this is extremely...
What happened to that?
This is extremely sexist, but that was one of the reasons that I started watching Sky News back in the day, because they had...
Isn't there still a news channel where they're naked, the weather ladies naked?
It's not available on my DSTV bouquet, whatever it is. But that was the highlight for me. That was the only reason to watch the weather. And now, I mean, they've got old people, and they've got fat people, and they've got ugly people, and it's just not...
My God, Gareth.
I don't give a shit about your qualification in meteorology. That's not why I watch the weather. Well, certainly back in the day when I did. I know that...
You're not allowed to be attractive anymore.
I know.
You're
not allowed to be attractive anymore, but you're not even allowed to express what you think is attractive anymore, as we discovered with Sports Illustrated Swimwear Edition this week. I mean, I can't say. So what I just said now about the weather girl, which is, again, like such a pejorative. Yeah. You can't even say weather girl because it's a pejorative term, you know. Someone's going
to. And also, like, why did you say weather man, but yet you say weather girl?
Right. Yeah, all this shit. So you know what? I like the weather girls. I like them in those skimpy little outfits with those short skirts. I like the weather girl, like, leaning over to point at fucking Greenland and show me how cold it was in Greenland. Even
because
though
you're looking at her ass. We're looking at her ass, and we're not looking at Greenland.
Trust me, it's not because I live in Greenland. I mean, I don't. So the weather, if you're going to put it on TV, make it interesting. Baywatch. I always refer to Baywatch because Baywatch was the most successful television show of all time while it was running. You know that, right? Highest ratings of any. Now, did Baywatch have the greatest storyline? No. Did it have the most interesting?
So many people dying in one sea.
I mean, not even, because all of them were rescued. I don't think anyone ever died in Baywatch because it was too dramatic. You know, they didn't want to make you actually feel anything. They just wanted you to watch the attractive people running around in swimwear. That's all it was. And in those days, before Pornhub, that was the best you could get. So people used to watch Baywatch. Right? Now.
Absolutely.
Totally.
No one's even trying now. No one's even trying to make it interesting. You watch, again, I'm not looking for trouble with anybody. And I want to give a proviso at the beginning of this to make sure that nobody misunderstands me. This is entirely a Gareth thing. This is not a male chauvinist move. It's not some kind of I don't mean to upset or insult anyone who's already on TV or who does a very good job of being on TV, but frankly, the attractiveness of our newsreaders in the world at the moment is at an all-time low. We have some of the most unattractive people doing the news that have ever done the news. I didn't mind when, who was that guy who worked for Rupert Murdoch at Fox News, that creep? The guy who died, fat old creep, who put Megyn Kelly on TV because he thought she was attractive, and he tried to put his hand up the skirt of the one girl, and they made that whole movie with Charlize Theron, which was brilliant, by the way. Anyway, whatever his name was, that guy, he knew something that the rest of us have forgotten. That guy knew something.
Yeah,
putting attractive
people.
It's a TV show. He may have been a horrible person and a creep, and you know, I'm sure that many women all over the world hate him justifiably, especially the ones who had to work with him. But he knew something.
Mm.
That's all I'm going to say.
It's a TV show. Make everyone on there aesthetically pleasing. I'm sorry. I don't whinge that I'm never going to look like Idris Elba, right? Like, what must I do?
You've actually brought it up a couple of times, so you do whinge about it.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. Actually, I'm saying I'm not going to whinge about it, but I see what you're saying. Thank you for, you know what, I haven't done the work. So coming up is a guy who probably has this problem all the time, by the way, and he's also been super successful, great handsome face.
Yeah.
George Meany.
He hates it when you say that, though. Here's George. Hey, George, what's happening, man?
Hey, Gareth, how's it going? That's why I rather look at cars.
So self-effacing. All right, you own it, George. Bolello's giving you a compliment. It's more than I get out of him every week. All right, so what's happening with you, George? How are things going?
Yeah, no, things are going well. I mean, freezing cold, as you know. Oof. You're in Joburg, so I had to try and day before yesterday, I think it was. I had to try and take a picture of the roof of my house because I want to fit a few more solar panels. And so I try to take my drone up to take this picture of my house.
Yes.
And as the drone went past the roof of the houses, because, you know, you don't live in a street that houses on either sides, it's a bit protected. Uh-huh. My drone almost blew into my neighbor's house.
Oh, shit.
So strong. I landed it so quickly. It landed next to a tree. It barely missed the trunk of the tree.
Hold on. Can you tell us the story in a more dramatic fashion? Because these rich people's problems are just, for our audience, it's just too much. It's too much.
But also,
my solar panel that I've got to put more solar panels on my roof to become more energy independent. And my drone, it almost went into my neighbor's. Oh, but I managed to land it just in time.
It could also be a cover up for spying on your neighbor, George.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But George, You are Iron Man. I've thought about you. One of my favorite moments ever in Cliff Central and the GCS history. There was a time when we had who's that devilishly handsome guy who lives in Holland again? Who's your friend? The model
guy.
Hi Rob. Yeah.
Hi Rob was on the show, and we revealed George. But George, you came on, and we were all on the stream, and you were, I think, at a hangar, and it was the biggest flex in the world. And after that day, I said, this guy's Iron Man. And now you've literally just confirmed that. I'm putting more solar panels on my house while I take my drone out, which George probably controls with his eyes, like a cyclop thing. That's awesome. George, you are friggin' awesome, dude.
maybe it's alien. I don't know. Gareth can tell.
He speaks about
all the time.
You might be an alien. I mean, you've done some pretty impressive things for a human being. I think there might be some alien involved here. All right, so George, let's be serious for a second. You managed to land your drone, because those things are expensive, and if it had gone into the neighbor's yard, you would have not only been embarrassed because they would have thought you were trying to spy on them, but you also would have ruined an expensive piece of machinery, which, I mean, you're an actual pilot as well, so it would have been very embarrassing if you'd crashed a drone, because then people would say, well, we're definitely not flying with this guy if he can't fly a drone, right? So stakes are high.
I had to land it very quickly. The winds were just unbelievable. The drone.
Is this yesterday?
Day before yesterday.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I haven't. I must be honest with you. I haven't really ventured too much out of the house in the last 2 or 3 days. I bought the propaganda that it was going to be the coldest 2 or 3 days ever, and I've just stayed indoors. I've barely gone outside. I think I crossed between our office and Bolelo's new studio yesterday, and that was enough to freeze me.
No, it's proper cold. Yeah. It's I think it was -5 last night.
What happens if you're?
It's the coldest in a decade, by the way.
Really?
Cutting.
Really, really.
Yeah.
Sure. I somehow remember 2010 World Cup being much colder, but maybe that's just because there was some event around it that I was going out at night.
Because you were outside.
Yeah. So George, just from a purely an interest point of view. Flying at low temperatures, is there a difference when it's very cold, if you're flying a plane, to when it's moderate or warm?
Yes. So in non-cold front conditions like this, so take the cold front out of the picture, cold weather has got smoother air because the air is denser. Uh-huh. And the plane performs better because the air is denser. You know, cold air, the molecules are closer together.
Right.
So winter flying is actually much more pleasant than summer flying. And one of the reasons is the heat from the earth as the ground heats up causes, upward airflow, which then causes bumps. So, cold weather is much more pleasant to fly in, but a cold front like this is not pleasant to fly in. I went to fly on Wednesday morning at sunrise, and usually at sunrise it's smooth. It wasn't smooth at sunrise on Wednesday morning because of this cold front. There's a lot of wind around even with the cold front.
Just quickly, some people correcting me. I'm clearly an idiot. Hameen says 2010 was 10 years ago. Obviously, they left out. Hameen left out the word "moron" there because she—that's what she meant. And Gareth also saying 2010 was more than a decade ago. But I do remember it was cold, so give me credit for that. If it was a decade ago and it was the coldest in that decade, or at least at the end of it, then my internal temperature check is not bad because I immediately came up with. I'm just trying to look for the silver lining. So.
You got the last word. You got the last word, and that's what's important.
Yes, correct. So in the Karoo, it's gone from 4-inch cold to 2-inch cold, according to Michael. That's how cold it is there. All right, George, what do you got for us today?
Well, Gareth, do you know electric cars are very dangerous, very high voltage in terms of what drives them to drive that electric motor. There's lots of high voltage, and you've heard before that if you see an orange cable inside an electric car's makings, don't touch it. So if an electric car has an accident, chances of you getting electrocuted are there because of these high voltage cables. So the question begs, can you drive an electric car? Can you wade it through water? You know, you can wade other cars through water. can you wade an electric car through water? Because if you don't keep a internal combustion engine car moving through water, you get what's called a hydrostatic lock, where the engine sucks water into its internal workings, mm-hmm. And the thing won't start again. Whereas an electric car is very different. You don't suffer from this hydrostatic lock because there's nothing to suck the water in. So the question is, do you get electrocuted? And the answer is no. Well, especially according to Tesla, they test their cars driving through deep water. And right. There is apparently, according to Tesla, no risk of electrocution.
Oh, well, now I'll buy one.
And Leanne, just as long as you remember what George said there, do not touch the orange cable, okay? Very important.
Yeah, I'll remember that.
Yeah, try.
Don't touch the orange cable. And then here's a silly story. I don't know what happens in the UK, but sometimes they are too politically correct.
Oh, yeah.
A BMW radio ad was banned in the UK because the car was revving in what the Advertising Standards Authority said was an irresponsible manner.
What? An ad.
Oh, my gosh.
This radio ad was...
Have they been to Durban?
Exactly. Apparently, the ASA rules, the Advertising Standards Authority rules for automotive advertising in the UK, apparently forbids any reference to performance, handling, or actions that might otherwise depict a car as exciting. Have they ever driven an electric car?
No.
My God, what would they say about James Bond, honestly?
Well, this is the point. You couldn't make James Bond today. You also, by the way, if you wanted to invent flying these days, you couldn't, because the health and safety people would stop you if you were the Wright brothers trying to fly a piece of cardboard. Ugh. If you were trying to invent the car right now, no one would allow you to, because the health and safety people would get in the way. Oh, you can't go at more than 10 kilometers an hour anywhere. No. This is going to kill people. This is the world we live in now. Innovation is going to be destroyed by the people who are trying to keep you safe.
Unless it's Elon Musk. So
he's rich enough to not care.
Here's a serious story, though, Gareth, and that is, Toyota, South Africa, produces cars in our country.
Yes.
Or should I say assembles cars? So the Japanese auto manufacturing giant, Toyota, raised grave concerns over the business's environment in KZN following the incidents of looting.
Oh.
And a letter was written, Toyota's regional office for Africa, a letter was written, and they expressed grave concerns and said the closure of the Toyota South Africa manufacturing operations jeopardizes the company's future sustainability. Now, everybody knows, well, I hope everyone knows, I've said it so many times, that 60% of our manufacture in South Africa is exported to Europe, mm-hmm. and other countries. With Toyota South Africa's manufacturing operations being closed in Durban, what does that do to our exports? The export volumes for our country are incredibly high. Now, Toyota is also building up to produce new energy vehicles in South Africa. Mm. What's going to happen to that? And then also with the ports having closed and the N3 having closed, Toyota expressed concern. So the troubles that have happened in the country over the last couple of weeks have got deeper consequences than,
yeah, of course they do. Than I think. You know what? I've got to give Toyota credit, because even though those are very they're very careful and considered comments, the fact is what they should be doing is sending Cyril a letter to say, listen, fuckhead, get your shit sorted out, because you are ruining things for us to be able to do business in this country. That's what they should be doing. But of course, you know, being responsible corporates and not idiots like me, they won't say such dumb things. But really, like, the people don't seem to understand, like, the consequences and the costs of what happened last week, this loss of power and authority by government, this clear abdication of responsibility with respect to keeping people and property safe. That's the whole reason we have a government, guys. If you're unable to do that, there's no reason for us to pay tax. There's no reason for you to take up space. And there's certainly no reason for you to have a blue light brigade. So Toyota are correct, and they're being very diplomatic about it. But the underlying message is, get your shit together.
Well, in Toyota's letter from Amai, he said, while the local Toyota management team has been working closely with the leadership of Etakweni, they, the government, are unable to provide us with a clear direction or plans on how the city intends to bring stability and order back to the city.
Because they don't know how. They wouldn't know a good idea if it jumped out of their Rice Krispies this morning. unfortunately.
And then finally, here's a really positive story. Tire fitters and specifically TireMart has jumped onto this bandwagon, and they will not fit tires that you bring into the store unless you can prove where you bought it.
That's a good point.
And might help with retrades, eh?
No.
Well, no, that's helping with if it was a looted tire.
If it was looted,
So, so good on the tire industry for taking the stand, and that's after the TEPA, the Tire Equipment Parts Association, suggested that all good tire idea. Fitters follow the same.
And that's not something you can do yourself, right? Fit a tire, you need machinery.
No, you do definitely need machinery.
Yeah,
I see somebody with what do you call that thing? A big piece of steel bar trying to fit a tire onto a rim.
Yeah, what is that thing called? That's a pretty amazing piece of machinery. I've watched them doing that. It's phenomenal. It's really cool to watch.
Yeah, you can't do it without a machine, Leanne.
Oh.
Mm.
Well,
very difficult.
Well, Leanne,
you've got a robot assistant in your Iron Man basement that just kind of comes in, does it for your car, and then it gets back in its box.
Oh, I've just remembered. I saw a TikTok video of a woman who was giving out tips. So what you do is you go to a car rental company and you rent out the car that's exactly like yours, and you swap out the tires. How bad?
That's so clever.
Yeah. Oh
my God. Yeah.
You would have a really, really devious mind to do that.
That's wow. So bad. So I mean, I would never have thought of that.
That's so brilliant. I mean, you could do it. It'd take an hour or two, right? You take it home. You have to jack each wheel up, and then you take them. That's such a clever. Wow, that's clever.
I wonder how many other parts and rental cars have disappeared in this way.
Gee, that's clever.
I mean, you've got a computer box in a car.
I'm missing an aerial. Someone stole my aerial. Perhaps I could. Yeah.
I mean, I know. Let me not give anybody ideas here.
Well, Sindile and Zach have both got interesting comments here. First of all, easiest thing to do in the township, says Sindile. That's obvious. And then Zach says, guys, people put tires on by themselves in the townships. There's no fancy machinery. So yeah, that's a good point.
You got to have. I think the slang term for it is a guala.
there's good medication for that.
All right. Anything else, George?
No, that's it. Thanks,
Gareth. All right. I want to finish off with a great song to get you into the weekend mood and to set the tone for a Friday. I hope you have an awesome weekend. We will see you on Monday morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Do not miss it. Make sure you're there. And if you haven't already subscribed and made notifications come up and all of that shit, then I can't help you. A friend of mine this week said to me, how do I subscribe? So I had to explain to her step by step, but she's on there now too. So there's no excuse. She's not really that smart. If she could do it, you could do it.
I must just tell you one thing, Gareth, and that is I've subscribed to the Gareth Cliff Show on YouTube.
And thank you, George.
What I find interesting about the notifications on my phone with how you guys do it versus how all the other stuff I've subscribed to is your headline makes sense.
Oh, good. Oh, thank God. All right. Mbulelo, who do I give credit to for that?
Yeah. Simpiwe? Who needs a raise in this place?
Let's not.
Who gets the credit? I don't even know who does that.
Oh, did you?
It could be anyone. I've never been.
All right. Okay.
Jeez, it's not.
Look, he's trying to. All right. Here's your song for the weekend, everybody. Have a happy day and try to keep warm. Central.